Hey y'all, hey, welcome to the Journey to Becoming podcast. I am Fiat Hollins, and in this episode, I want to talk to empaths and how to navigate in this loud and busy world. So, first off, I want to say that initially this was going to be for highly sensitive people / empaths, but then after doing research, I noticed that highly sensitive people are like a subgroup of empaths. So I just didn't want to break them up like that. But this is mainly for empaths specifically, which happen to be like highly sensitive people. So I didn't realize until very recently that I was this highly sensitive person. So we're just like super emotional. And like we wear our hearts on our sleeves, and we take in other people's pain, and we feel other people's take in people's pain, and we also feel other people's pain deeply. So some empaths can have like a sensitivity to like loud noise and crowds, and we just feel things deeply. Like my cousin would say, when we were like in our 20s, we used to always be like, "Why you gotta be so feelingary?" We used to make up words all the time, but mainly it's because we live in a world where when you're sensitive, it's looked at as a weakness. So like, just think about like Ralph Tresvant. I'm not about to give y'all like a little history lesson. If y'all don't know who Ralph Tresvant is, y'all gotta Google it. His song that came out back in the early 90s called Sensitivity. Like, he was clown for that song. A lot of women like that song, of course, because it's like, you know, when you think of sensitive, you think of women. But mainly just how to navigate in this world, because we live in a world where it's like you have to be kind of tough or have thick skin. And I'm not saying those things don't have their place, you know what I mean? But just mainly just for the empaths. And being an empath is different from displaying like sympathy for someone. That's different. Sympathy is when you understand like someone's situation or what they're going through. To have empathy or be an empath, you feel everything. So I used to wonder why I would be, and it could be positive feelings and negative feelings. It's just whatever. But I wouldn't, growing up, I didn't understand why I would be excited for a minute, like about something, and soon as someone enters a room, the whole mood shifts. You know how it's just like, because energy is real, but I didn't understand energy then. So everything could be good, but it takes that one person that will come into the room. Sometimes they don't even have to say anything, and you could just feel the whole vibe shift. You know what I mean? So I would wonder why, and it's mainly with those that I will be close to, like friends or mates. So if I'm in a good mood and then they walk into the room, they don't have to say anything. I can just feel their energy, and I can tell if they're in a bad mood. I can tell if they're in a good mood. But mainly this is focusing on like negative or bad energy. And you ask like, "What's wrong?" And they'll say nothing or something like that. And then the next day or later on the same day, they'll end up telling me, yeah, like something was wrong, or this was going on. So I didn't know what it was. It's like I would take that on. There are a lot of people that if someone is in a bad mood, somebody's in a bad mood, it's like whatever, they keep them pushing. But if it was, I noticed that if it's somebody that I'm close to, a friend, a mate, if I'm close to them, I would absorb that energy. And that would kind of annoy me, because I'm just like, listen, I was in a good mood. I'm ready to, you know, do whatever. I'm ready to, you know, get hype or do whatever we're about to do. So now I'm taking on the mood of that person because it's energy and I'm an empath. I didn't know that. So, like I said, we're raised to be tough, told to like not be a punk and to buck up. And there are situations, instances where that is necessary for, you know, so people won't take advantage of you or, you know, use you and all those kinds of things. I understand what that means, but we're not often taught how to show up in this world as a sensitive person and not be taken advantage of at the same time. So I grew up in this family where I was taught to be tough. So there was not a lot of affection going on in my household. My mom was not affectionate. Her mom was not affectionate. So all of the offspring, none of us were really affectionate towards one another. It's like it was implied that we loved each other because we did a lot of things together. We spent every holiday together. We did things together, but we never hugged and said, I love you or any of that stuff. I didn't say it to my mom. My mom didn't say it to her mom. My grandmother didn't say it to her kids. It's just been this whole cyclical generational thing. And I started off on that path when I had my oldest daughter, who was now 26. And I was doing the same thing, not knowing, because that's what I was brought up doing. You know what I mean? I know that I loved my daughter, but it didn't dawn on me that my family wasn't saying it to each other until like one of my cousins came to me and was just like, you're not really affectionate and none of y'all are affectionate. She was talking about my mom, my grandma. And then it clicked. I'm just like, we're not. So my oldest daughter, like I said, she's 26 now, but she was a kid at that point. I started from that point going forward. And I would tell her that I love her just to break this cycle of not saying I love you. Like it's okay to say I love you. But so I was brought up with this exterior where people perceive me as being tough. So I had to pretty much create this like alter ego. And it's funny because I actually named my alter ego. Her name is Tijuana Cherry. She was this fun party girl. She was uninhibited. She was like this wild child. And I used her as as my alter ego, also known as like it was like a defense mechanism, my armor, because I didn't really see a space where I could be sensitive or show my sensitivity, because I didn't want to be looked at as weak or as a punk. Because even though I hung out with a lot of my female cousins and had a lot of women friends, everyone pretty much was tough. Do you know what I mean? So I had to create this Tijuana Cherry persona, who was like down for whatever. And she like this had this potty mouth, and she was like zero fucks given. She just did not care. And it didn't dawn on me until years later that it's like, yeah, well, some of her, characteristics was cool. Like she was fun. It's like I used to like I like dancing. I like, listening to music. All that part that was cool. But the wild child and being down for whatever, that's totally a alter ego, because in the natural, not habitat, the who I am naturally, like organically who I am naturally, I'm not a shy person, but I'm more so a reserved person. So there's a difference between being shy and reserved. I am, even though I'm introverted, I consider myself an outgoing introvert, I'm sorry. So it's like I'll go and talk to people, I'll speak to people, I'm not just completely withdrawn, but I'm reserved. I like to check the scenes, check to see what's going on, observe situations, get a feel and get a vibe of my atmosphere before I speak or before I give my opinion, before I talk, do anything. So where those things I do embrace, but for years I did not embrace that. It was like I wanted to be this extroverted Tijuana Cherry, down for whatever type person, because everyone around me was that way. And I did not feel like I could show up as the person that I would be showing up as, because, you can only not be you or pretend to be you for so long before the real you is trying to fight its way to the surface. Like, hey, this is not who you are. So when I would show up as the person that I am, I would get flack for, oh, you so sensitive, or you too damn sensitive, or, you know, that kind of thing. So then I had to pretend that I was this tough person when I'm actually, you know, not. So I used, I created this alter ego. And at the time, I didn't know I was creating an alter ego. Let's just be clear. This is me reflecting in hindsight after I've done the healing work, when I got to this point where I was tired of repeating these unhealthy patterns or just showing up inauthentically. I wanted to be a more honest and authentic person and be more vulnerable. This is when I started unpacking all of the things that I've been doing for all of these years to kind of fit in. So I realized that I was using Tijuana Cherry as a... Oh, no, let me back up a little bit too. So the story where I got the name Tijuana Cherry is funny, because I was about like maybe 22, 23 years old. So this is over 20 years ago. And around the time where I used to, hang out a lot. And I had one particular cousin. All of my cousins used to smoke weed. And while I didn't smoke weed, I did pick up the habit of smoking Black and Mild. So it's these little wannabe cigars, right? So I picked up this bad habit of smoking cigars. And one particular brand was called Tijuana Cherry. And I started smoking that brand. And also I started using the name Tijuana Cherry because with my name being Fiat, when guys would approach me and want to talk to me and they would ask my name, it became too cumbersome for me to say Fiat, because they would always say, huh, or what did you say? So I would come up with aliases. So Angie was my go-to for a long time. I would tell people my name was Angie. Go figure. And then after a while, I started just saying my name was Tijuana Cherry. So that's where that comes from. So, and it's funny because those that knew me around that, during that period of my life, and they see who I am now. And even my mom, before she passed away, when she saw that I was transitioning or evolving into the person that I wanted to be, more so the person I wanted to be as opposed to the person that I used to be, she would say, no, you're becoming too soft. I need you to bring Tijuana Cherry back. So it's like this saying with these people that I know that, you need to bring Tijuana Cherry back, or you're getting a little too soft. If it was back in the day, Fiat, you would have done XYZ. So I was using this as a cover up, and it's like a go along to get along. It's a mask. And the reason why is because my perception was that nobody likes people who are quiet. We're looked at as boring, or we're just sensitive ass people. And growing up, my mom, she was very quiet. And I remember how relatives would just talk badly about her. Like, it was a bad thing for her to just want to sit in the house. My mom really liked sports, and she liked watching TV. So that's all she wanted to do. She would go out to different, people had birthday parties or holidays, but very sparingly. She was very particular about her energy and her time. This is me looking at it in hindsight, because growing up, I couldn't stand it. I didn't want to be like my mom either. So it would bother me when people would say, it was this one guy who would say, when you grow up, don't be like your mom. So I did everything in my power not to be like my mom, because I'm looking at it like all of these people see my mom as this, I'm not going to say a bad person, but no one liked the fact that she didn't want to do anything. So she was looked at as quiet and boring, you know, just all of that. So it was things that I was trying not to be. But the more I tried to fight it, the more it kept coming to the surface. Like, it's okay to not want to hang out, go to the club, party, drink, smoke, do all of those things if that's not who you are. There's nothing wrong with that. If I want to watch TV all day, that's me. If I get out every now and then, that's fine. So the bullshit of this whole thing is, and also the original subtitle to the podcast, it was the title was Journey to Becoming, and then the subtitle was Unlearning All of the Bullshit That I Was Taught About Money, Relationships, and Just Life, Period. Matter of fact, that might still be the subtitle. So yeah, so the bullshit of this whole, and I always have to have a bullshit because it's like a turning point in the purpose of the podcast, is that I didn't want to be looked at as those things. I wanted to be the one that's the fun girl, the party girl. And the truth was, that wasn't me. I like to have fun, but I'm also a sensitive person. I take in people's feelings, as well as I have my own, I mean, of course, my own feelings about things, and should be able to process that in a way so that I'm not looked at as weak or just I'm too much, or, you know, those kind of things. So because we're empaths and we take on people's energy, it's hard to decipher between what's our energy and what someone else's. So once we take in all this energy, we crash. It like it takes so much of our energy and it drains us, then we have to retreat. So then it's like, okay, we take in the energy, we crash, it drains us, then we retreat. So we need time to ourselves. And then we repeat this cycle, and we attract so many people for many reasons, but mainly because we usually have good energy, we have a good vibe, people like to be around us, and plus we are great listeners. So people come and kind of like dump all their stuff onto us, and then it's like we take that in because it's like, you know, we like listening to people's, well, let me speak for me in this instance. I like listening to people's stories, which is the main reason why I had to find something to do with all of the stories that I had. And when people call me the human vault because I have so many stories, that's why I started pretty much writing fiction, is because I needed to to share all of the stories that people were coming to me about. I haven't shared enough. Believe me, that's coming, because that's the process as well. But it's mainly, I have stories of my own, as well as that those of people who share them with me, who wants to remain anonymous, but want the stories to be told. So that's why I write fiction, and add in different stories that were shared with me into like my short stories and that, those kind of things. So what happens with empaths, we take in that, we feel all of the feelings, we feel all the emotions when people tell our stories, we empathize and we can feel that. And after that, we need to recharge, which is often seen as being funny acting or being antisocial and those kinds of things. Now that doesn't bother me. Those terms do not bother me. But for years they did, because I'm trying to prove myself and prove to people that I'm not funny acting. I'm not moody. I'm not antisocial. But at this point, it's like, I really don't give a fuck. And that's the reality of it. I embrace who I am. And I am an empathic person, and I'm a very highly sensitive person. So I had to learn how to show up and navigate in this world, because this world is so busy. So it's a lot of chaos. It's a lot of things going on, and that's overwhelming for us. So I have 6 things in a bonus to help empaths like me, empaths like you, highly sensitive people, navigate in this loud and busy world. Okay, so I'm just going to run through these. So number 1 is make sure you recharge. I recharge by looking at TV. I love Netflix. I love Hulu. I love shows. I love series. I love documentaries. So I recharge by just taking time off, taking time away from the world, and I'll just watch shows. I'll read books, but I read books just anyway. But do whatever you need to do to recharge where it doesn't require a whole lot of energy. So number one, recharge. Number two, set boundaries. I know that's difficult. It was difficult for me for several years. I'm just now getting into the habit of setting boundaries. Because the thing is, since I attract a lot of people, I have a lot of acquaintances. And with that, I used to allow people to come and talk to me and dump onto me whenever they pretty much felt like it. I wanted to be available because I did not want to really turn anybody away, because I felt like, what if they really needed me in that instance? And blah, blah, yada, yada. That's just me being the sensitive person that I am. So I would let people call me, talk to me for hours on end. It's not really a, it wasn't really like a conversation. It's more so just dumping. So I would listen to it for hours, hours, hours. And I would do this a lot. Let people inbox me, text me. So set boundaries. If you only want to talk to people this particular amount of time per day, do that. If you don't want to talk to them that time per day, tell them, hey, I'm not available right now, but I am available XYZ. Set boundaries. That's number two. Number three, find your tribe. Find the people who respect and appreciate who you are without trying to change who you are. So get away from the people who are calling you funny acting, antisocial, everything else. Oh, you can hang out, you can go here, you can, just whatever. I've heard it all. So I would go through periods when I felt like I had to be everywhere. This friend wanted me to be here, this friend wanted me to support that. And while I wish I could support everybody that I love and care about, the reality is it's impossible. So I had to, this falls in line with the setting boundaries as well as finding your tribe, because the people who are in your tribe will understand, hey, she needs time to do whatever and she'll be back. So find your tribe, because those are people who are going to understand you. Number four, be you unapologetically. Y'all should hear me trying to practice the word unapologetically without stumbling. Be you. Period. No regrets, no explanations. Just show up as who you are. And these all kind of piggyback off of each other. But once you find your tribe, once you set boundaries, you can be you and show up, and the people who are meant to be in your quote unquote atmosphere, circle, tribe, or whatever, they'll appreciate you and not just tolerate you. Number five, I recommend a social media fast, even though I don't fast enough, but I set a social media fast where I'm supposed to not engage at all or do anything on social media on Sunday. Okay, so I've been cheating on that for a while now, but I'm going to get back into that. Social media fast, because you need to unplug. I actually have it saved in my phone, like unplug, detox from social media, because that could become overwhelming as well. Okay. Number six is go at your own pace. This kind of goes piggybacks on the social media. We look at people online and then we try to compare ourselves, or we compare ourselves to people who are doing what it is, either similar to what we want to do, or if someone that we just admire and we're looking at them and we're just like, oh, they hustling, they grinding, they doing this, and we kind of start comparing ourselves to these people, and then also being hard on ourselves when we're not quite living up to what it is we feel like we should be or where we should be. So I say go at your own pace, and I'm learning this as well, because I tend to, because I write books and write films, and then I'll look at something and I root for everyone, because I want everybody to win. So I'm never just like envious or jealous of anyone, but there is some part of me where I'm just like, oh, it'd be cool to be a writer of a show or to have a first look deal or film deal. But again, whatever is meant for me will be for me. And I need to just, I go at my own pace. Like it took, they had their own pace and their own path and road to get to where they are. It's the same thing for me. So I just need to keep showing up in the best way that I know how and trust that whatever is for me is for me. And nothing will be missed if it's for me. Do you know what I mean? So go at your own pace. This is how to navigate and show up in this busy, crazy world if you're an empath. And I wanted to add another one to this, and I just got this download today. And that is to not take things personally, which should have been number one. Again, this doesn't go in any order, but this is really important because as an empath, as I said, we take on people's feelings and energy and all of that. Not taking things personally. I feel, again, they go that feel part. I feel will do wonders because once you realize it's not about you, so not about us, even if someone is verbally attacking you, if someone is saying you this and this, the key is to not take things personally. I read the book The Four Agreements. You can Google that. It's a very well-known popular book. I believe his name is Don Miguel Ruiz. Don't quote me, please. This is coming off the top of my head. The name of the book is called The Four Agreements for sure, but I don't remember the author's name, but I do think it's Don Miguel. I don't know if it's Ruiz, but I believe Miguel is in it. Okay. So one of the agreements that he talks about is not taking things personally, because people's behaviors are a direct reflection of their beliefs and their values and their perceptions. So even though somebody can be cursing you out, it's all a reflection of how they see the world, how, what they believe in, what their viewpoints are. Do you understand what I'm saying? So you can't take it personally because it's not really about you. I hope that makes sense, because it took me a minute to digest it too. But when I think about it, it's like, this shit is not about me. Even if this person calls me a whatever, I can't even think of it. Call me ugly or something like that. Even though the comment is directed at me, it's not about me. This is a direct reflection of how that person sees, how that person sees me based on their views, their perspective. All of that is on them. It's on them. So just as easily as a negative, something negative we shouldn't take personally, that the same thing applies to something that's told to you that's positive. You shouldn't take that personally either. I know that's kind of hard to do because we like to hear good things about ourselves. That's like an ego thing. But none of this we should take personally, because the way we see everything, hence the word see, our perception of things is based on our values and beliefs. So whether we see something as pretty, whether we see something as ugly, is direct reflection of our values, beliefs, and perceptions. And no one should take it personally. But we tend to take those things. We tend to take negative things personally too. But we don't look at it in the same way when it's like, oh, this person thinks I'm pretty. Oh, that's cool. We like that. But the reality is we shouldn't take that personally either. I hope that makes sense. So this is for the empaths. So to help us, you know, go about in this world, because it's so loud, because it's so busy, and because it's we're trying to, some of us are trying to keep up with the way of the world, and it's draining the hell out of us. I just wanted to make this podcast episode about empaths, because I know I'm not the only one who was showing up as someone other than I'm not, so that I could try to fit into this world, to go along, to get along. But I just wanted to say, you can show up in this world exactly as who you are. You just have to tap into the power that is you and all your badassness, and be who the hell you are, and not try to be like the next one. Not be like your cousin or your friend or anybody who wants you to change who you are. Just be who you are, and hopefully those seven tips. Look, I'm looking at notes. I hope those seven tips can help you show up and be the biggest expression of yourself. And you can be sensitive and be felinary and be all that is the empath. Oh, I also wanted to say that empaths are very intuitive, and we just have a higher sense of knowing. So tap into your intuition as well. Tap into because we feel and we know. So just, if something feels good, if something feels bad, honor that. And also do the necessary things to show up, to recharge, to set boundaries, find your tribe, be you unapologetically, do a social media fast, go at your own pace, and do not take things personally. Whew, that's the end of the episode. Thank you for listening. And next week, I plan to talk about, I have it titled In the Midst of the Storm. So I'm going to try to stick to the show segments that I have outlined. But something may happen. It may be like a current event that comes up, and I may want to talk about that. But hopefully I stick to the how to remain sane in the midst of the storm. I just made that up. I just have In the Midst of the Storm, but I just felt like that was just so broad. So thank you for listening to Journey to Becoming Podcast. I am Fiat Hollins, and I'll be back next week. Bye.